Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is Entail Enhanced. To see pictures, articles, and links of what's being discussed, download the Entail app.
Welcome to You Come First with me, Megan Barton Hansen. You may know me from the 2018 series of Love Island. Since before Love Island, I've always had a passion for women's rights and interests. So I'm here to tell you everything you need to know when it comes to putting yourself first. Whether this be in a relationship, in the bedroom, your career, or your mental health. I've called in friends from around the world for an intimate, unfiltered conversation that will change your life forever. Expect lots of laughter, a few tears, and for the penny to finally drop as we discuss the most taboo and private topics. I'm here to get brutally honest. When will you realise that you come first? The best way to listen to this podcast is on the Entail app, because while you're listening, behind the scenes, photos, links, and exclusive content will appear. It's spelled Entale. So go download it now and check it out. Today I'm joined by someone I've loved for such a long time, singer, songwriter, model, author, mother, and now making waves in the sex toy industry, the wonderful Lily Allen. So thank you so much for coming on, Lily. I can't believe you're here on my little podcast.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
No worries. As such a big fan of yours for such a long time, it's amazing to see you start advocating self-love in the form of pleasure. Normalising taboo subjects such as female pleasure is so important. So what made you want to create the toy?
Well, I wrote a book a couple of years ago called My Thoughts Exactly. And I write about sort of discovering masturbation in my late 20s. So I didn't really do that early on in my life, and definitely not in my teenage years. I mean, I sort of tried it, but didn't. Was very non-committal.
Yeah.
And so I write about this experience in my book. There's sort of a chapter kind of dedicated to it, or at least it features in a chapter. And the brand Womanizer was actually like a big part of sort of breaking down some barriers for me. And I name checked the brand in my book, and then, you know, they got in contact with me after publication, and we've kind of been speaking for a year or so, I want to say, maybe just over a year. I think they're based in Germany, and I was playing a concert in Berlin, and so they came and met me. We had tea, and it was just really organic. And yeah.
Oh, amazing. So was it something you wanted to do for a while after like writing about or discovering it in your 20s? Did you think with your platform, like, you would love to be an ambassador for a sex toy? Or
no, I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, as you know that in this age, when you have a platform, you're approached by brands all the time to do stuff. And I've had a platform for a long time. You know, I had my MySpace platform when it was 2005, and then I had a really big following on Twitter, and then I had a sort of okay following on Instagram. And yeah, I've always kind of been approached by brands, but I kind of have always felt that like truth and honesty is like really central to my thing.
Yeah.
And so I haven't really just wanted to like say yes to things that I don't really believe in. And because this came from a really sort of like honest place, and just a, it just felt like a no-brainer, really. It wasn't like a dream of mine, but it was like, it just seemed like, yeah, why not?
Amazing. So what made you think of the name Liberty? Like, was it something that you had in mind for a long time, or?
I actually didn't think of the name.
Oh, did you not? Well, it's a great name. Like, I'm pretty thick. I come from South End and I'm not like massively educated. And I was like, Liberty, like, let me look into why she picked this name. And then I Googled what it meant and I was like, it's a really decent name.
Yeah, it's it definitely fits. I wish I could take credit for it, but it's not my idea.
Well, love the name selection. So I get asked all the time, I think because I do speak so openly about, I don't know, women empowerment and just liking sex just as much as men, I get asked all the time if I have any tips for like solo pleasure. Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips for our listeners?
I mean, I don't really have like tips for everybody. I mean, I've found pleasuring myself like really, really difficult. In quite a lot of areas of my life, apart from drugs and alcohol, which I found quite easy. But yeah, I've found it difficult to like give myself the sort of space and time to connect with myself. And I think ultimately I just really didn't feel very comfortable with myself. So the idea of like trying to be intimate with myself and my body was just so foreign to me because I felt very separate from it. Yeah, just really, really difficult to connect. So I guess like I can give advice to women or girls that might feel similar to how I did, and just say that committing to it and keeping on going with it is the advice that I would give, because so many times I just thought, oh, you know, I'm never gonna be able to bring myself to climax, or like I don't deserve this, or you know, I'm just one of those people that can't come. And I told myself that for a long time, and I really feel like if I'd committed to it, and I could have saved myself a lot of time and energy.
Yeah, that's so interesting to hear, because I feel like I'm the complete opposite. Like, I'm the most selfish person. So I think even from a young age, I was like, if I was going to do anything for me, I was going to make sure that I got there. Do you know what I mean? I made sure that it was for me. And even from my first or second boyfriend, I think, when I had sex, I was like, this isn't really doing it for me. I remember being confused because the first time I had sex, I was like, why is everyone like screaming and like loving it? I was like, this really is not doing anything for me. So from then I just took matters into my own hands and was like, oh, okay, this is how it feels good because I'm getting involved now.
And I think that's really amazing. And that's a really like powerful message. I mean, personally, you know, sex with or partnered sex for me, especially when I was much younger, was like pretty much performative. It was never about like giving myself pleasure. It was always like about, you know, do I look good enough, or am I doing the right thing, or for his pleasure. And
yeah.
And I don't know if that's like a cultural thing, or, you know, we didn't really talk about sex in my family. It wasn't something that was like forbidden to talk about. We weren't like particularly religious or anything, but it was just like, I don't know, everyone in my family is just a bit weird. But yeah, we definitely weren't open about these things. And so I guess I just sort of like followed what was happening on TV and in movies and stuff, which was like, you know, you lie there and make funny noises and they have an orgasm and well done.
Yeah, literally, because it's just society, isn't it? Like, no one actually speaks about women's pleasure ever. And that's why I love that you've done this, because from growing up, no one ever, like, you'll have sex education and they'll say, right, don't get pregnant, this is what happens on your period, these are like STIs that you could get. No one ever mentions the women's pleasure, so my only reference was porn. And like you say, you just lay there or in some kind of position making funny noises. There is no actual like reference of women, like how to enjoy yourself or how to make that experience better for you.
Yeah.
So I think it's so important for women to get to know their own bodies first before they start having sex. I mean, I wish I did.
100%, 100%. And actually, even just like having these conversations lately, it's funny how many comments I get from mainly men, actually some women as well, being like, you know, oh, your husband must not be able to give. It's just like, it's got nothing to do with him. It's completely separate from that. It's not The idea of like giving myself pleasure has got nothing to do with not being able to get it from somewhere else. And I think we do live in a culture that's very encourages sort of like codependence where female pleasure is concerned, and that, you know, you're supposed to rely on somebody else to sustain you. And the idea that you can do it on your own makes people really uncomfortable, and not just in sex, money as well. Like the idea that a woman can make her own money and be independent and stand on her own two feet is threatening to a lot of men, because that's what they want their role to be. They want us to rely on them for everything.
It's so true. And I found that with like OnlyFans. I've recently got that back since I came off of this TV show. And people are like, oh my God, like I had so much hate for it. Mm. But really, when you break it down, all it is like men and society have made women this like sexual object for so long, whether it's like selling a fragrance or like in a James Bond film there's a sexy woman. As soon as that woman takes ownership back of her body and makes money from it, everyone hates it.
That's a problem. They're like, yeah, and I think the Kardashians are a really good example of that, because people have got really up in arms about, oh, they're such a bad example for young girls. It's like, well, you weren't saying that about Hugh Hefner when he was like parading women around on the front cover of
That's
his magazines
so
for many, many years and making loads of money off it. And it wasn't even his body that he was doing it with. It was other women's. So, yeah, I think it's really interesting conversation.
That's such a good reference. I'm going to use that going forward. I love that. That is so true. Whenever I discuss female pleasure or promote sex toys, I face such a huge backlash in my DMs, like from women, from men, from all different people. Have you found that since you brought out your sex toy?
Not a massive amount, I've got to say. I mean, I think people, I don't really like tend to respond to those kind of things. I think people say bad things because they want to get a response on the whole.
Yeah.
I mean, I get a lot of hate online, but mainly from like right-wing people about things like Brexit or Donald Trump or, you know, Boris Johnson, about politics, where people feel like they have to put me back in my box. And people don't necessarily associate me with talking about female sexual liberation, whereas they do with you. So I feel like if, you know, that's just your thing, so people are going to hate on you for that. And my thing is sort of like speaking my mind in other areas, and so people hate on me for my main thing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, true. I guess so. Because I didn't know whether it's because I come from Love Island, which is like classed as a family show, even though what blew my mind is like parents and people are fine to let their kid watch me go in a hideaway with someone that I've known a couple of weeks or days, but they're not okay for me to say, as a woman, before you start having sex with other people, explore yourself and know what you like. So
yeah,
it's weird to,
I guess it's just societal norms, isn't it, and like generational stuff as well. Like people are just not willing to have those conversations. And I put out a thing on my Instagram the other day saying, you know, will you discuss masturbation with your children, your daughters?
Yeah.
And I did get a lot of responses from you know, mothers, but probably like people like my mum's age and stuff, saying, you know, well, when they get to the right age, and you know, what is, it's pure, you can see where it comes from. It's because that generation are not in a place where they feel comfortable with having these conversations. And I think that, you know, you're a lot younger than I am, but it feels like there is a lot of conversations about lots of different subjects that have been completely ignored and not covered over the past sort of 40-50 years, and it makes the generation that ignored all of those things very uncomfortable.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Even though I think deep down they probably think if they could go back and know about that before they had sex with someone else, I wish I did know how to explore my body and know what worked for me before I had sex with anyone else. That's like, I don't look back and regret, but I just wish I knew how my body worked before I started having sex with other people, because like you touched on earlier, I do think for a long time I kind of performed for a lot of people, and I was like, was that even for me? Like, what was I getting out of that? Like, it was mad. I get a lot of people message me and say they get embarrassed or shy when it comes to purchasing sex toys. When did you buy your first sex toy, and did you find it awkward?
Yeah, I think I probably did. I don't think I did. I was in a sex shop in the Reeper Barn in Hamburg, and I was with a bunch of like dancers from my tour, and so they were, you know, sort of showing me the ropes. They were kind of like a lot more into this stuff than I was at the time. But I remember being on my own once in New York in a shop buying a toy, like looking around, and someone was like, you know, can I help you? And I was like, just leave me alone.
Just get back.
I do not want to talk to you about this. So yeah, I definitely think it was quite weird. And then I had an even like madder experience where I definitely progressed past the point of being embarrassed and was like, I actually was lying in bed in Los Angeles, and my toys had like run out of batteries and I didn't have a charger. So I was like, oh, I'll just use Postmates, which is like an app, to get someone to go and pick me one up from the Hustler store on Sunset Boulevard. And then this guy, like a courier for this app, like went to the Hustler store to go and pick up this thing, and then like called me from the store. He was like, they don't have the one that you want. And I was like, oh, okay, well, can you, I just want a clitoral massager, so can you get me a clitoral massage, like on the phone to this guy?
Oh my God.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I love this.
I was like, just ask, look, find a woman that works there. Tell her I want a clitoral massager. And yeah, but he, by the time like he got back in the car with the staff, he was like, I think you're really going to like it. We were like having this full on dialogue about the toys that he just bought for me. And then by the time he got to the door, I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I could see this person face to face. So I was just like, oh, I'm in the bath, just leave it on the porch. So yeah, I did definitely pussy out. But yeah, it was
funny.
Oh
my God, I love that story. I thought I missed LA, but like I didn't even know Postmates delivered more than food.
Oh yeah, you can ask them to do get anything as long as basically. I went on the Hustler website to look for what they had in stock, and then was specific. You just have to basically write if they don't have the menu on it. You can still ask them to go and pick stuff up. You just have to write down exactly what it is that you
oh
want.
My God, now I miss LA even more. I'm going back single. I was like, oh, I need to find someone to travel with. Absolutely not. I'm just gonna go to LA and do a lily. Yeah, be like,
stay in a hotel, get Postmates to deliver your sex toys, you'll be fine.
And then when he comes through with the goods, be like, just leave at the door, please. I'm in the bath.
Exactly.
Do you have any advice for someone buying their first toy? Because I remember my friend, he's gay, and he took me into Soho, and like the array of like dildos in there petrified me. Like the size, like I was overwhelmed. I was like, what do I even do? And then I think before that, I was with an ex-boyfriend in Amsterdam. And again, the shop was just terrifying. Mm. So I know it can be overwhelming for women to like go into a sex shop and be like, right, what do I want? So yeah. What would you...
I mean, I'm very fortunate in that, you know, when I've discovered sex toys or decided that I wanted to discover sex toys, I had quite a lot of money. So I think I probably just bought loads.
One of everything, like a pick and mix.
But, you know, they are expensive. So I wouldn't, obviously, I'm not going to tell people, like, spend their entire year savings on sex toys. So I don't know, you just got to sit there and have a look and go and play with them. Most of the places have got like display ones that you can kind of, obviously haven't been used, but you know, you can kind of get a feel for what they might feel like and what the different motions are and different settings and stuff. So I think just like go and have a little play in the shops.
Yeah, I think what worried me is like you see all these things and they do different settings. You're like, but some of them you just can't even work out where they go. Like yeah. I remember now, obviously working with different brands, they were like send me them and be like, oh, this does this. But some of them are like literally like enormous. What's this? Like a foot? Is that a foot? And it's like a massager. But I'm like, where is that supposed to go? And then my mum's like, no, Meg, that doesn't go anywhere. That just massages. I'm like, oh, okay. It can be used as a body massager too. I'm like, oh, thank God for that. Yeah. Sweating just looking at the beast. So a YouGov study found out that there was significantly more confusion about a woman's anatomy than a man's. And I think this is like a massive issue. Both women and men don't really know about like a woman's anatomy. Do you think it would be a good idea for people to start teaching it in like schools? Because like I said earlier with like sex education, you get taught about like periods and like how not to get pregnant, but you never get taught about pleasure. Mm-hmm. Do you think it would be important to be taught that at school about pleasure?
Yeah, I do, for sure. I mean, I think it's really important conversation to have. And, you know, I suppose that we do have sex education. When I was sort of taught about this stuff, it was definitely more about, you know, biology than it was about pleasure. And I think, you know, there was probably like a incident with a banana and a condom. And I don't know. I feel like sex education has always been telling girls that like you're a vessel basically to make babies. And that's the role.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, like I think it was only relatively recently, like in the last sort of 20, 30 years, that a study of the female like vagina in terms of pleasure was even conducted. Like people
really?
Didn't even look it up, because I was reading somewhere quite recently that only like relatively recently did like a scan of the female vagina to find out exactly how big the clitoris was and where it extended to. And actually people think of the clitoris just being like a little bean at the top of your vagina, but actually it comes all the way down into the lips. And you know, that's why when you have a clitoral orgasm, it just like throbs all the way around.
Yeah.
But no one had ever bothered to do any actual research into it, because, well, why would they? Sexual, you know, female sexual enjoyment is not really the top of the list of any.
Yeah, exactly.
But like this female scientist like commissioned this study, and it completely like changed the way that people thought about the female, you know, vulva. And yes, it was only like in the late 70s or early 80s or something.
Oh my God, then female scientists need a medal. Like, I want to make an award just for them. Do you think there is a right age to start practicing pleasure? I mean, I don't even know how old I was when I first discovered, like, even anything down there. Like, I think the first thing? I was at a horse riding lesson, and it was just a random horse riding lesson, and it felt good. And my parents had no money, and I was like, all of a sudden, I was like, Mum and Dad, I really want to go horse riding. Bless them. I made them pay for all these horse riding lessons. They had not a pot to piss in, and I'm just there trying to get this angle again. They'll be fuming, and I'm such a pussy as well. Like, as soon as the horse started going fast, I'm like, ah! So bad. So that's, I don't know what age that was. That must have been young.
Yeah, I don't know if there is a like a right age. I mean, I think the most important thing is like not to shame kids if they're pleasuring themselves like earlier than you would normally anticipate. Like, I know that there are, you know, kids that start sort of like making noises at like 4 or 5 years old, and you know, it makes some parents really uncomfortable, the idea that their children are, you know, enjoying their bodies in that way. And I think that as long as you're having conversations and not necessarily encouraging, but making kids feel as if they can talk about those things openly and express themselves and not feel ashamed of whatever it is that they're feeling, then that's the important thing. But yeah, I mean, my kids have not come to me so far and asked me any questions, and they're 7 and 9. Don't know if I'm really anticipating. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess they'll just come to me. And if they don't come to me before the ages of, like, you know, 13 or 14, then I'll have a conversation with them.
Yeah. I just think the more people in, like, our industry or whatever just speak about it and make it normal, that's the best thing. Because I remember at school, a guy, and I speak about it quite often, this guy, he was like, oh, will you send me a video of you, like, touching yourself? And I was like, no. Like, I had never even masturbated at this point. And I was like, no, I won't send you a picture. But it's like, have you done it? And I was like, yeah, of course I have. Like, I'm grown. Yeah, of course I have. And then that went around the whole school. And I remember I couldn't even tell my mum. She was like, why do you want to move school? Why don't you want to go inside? And I felt like I couldn't tell her. So I think as long as, like, parents and people not, like, the shame just needs to be gone, I think, because for years I carried that around, for absolute years. And it wasn't until I started stripping and I was around other women that spoke about, like, masturbation and stuff. I was like, oh my God, everyone does it. I'm normal. But yeah, it was a horrendous time. So I think the shame just needs to be completely gone. Erased. Out of that. Yeah. It's so old fashioned, I feel.
Definitely.
So you're so, like, sexually, like, confident and positive and speak out about it so openly. How did you get to this place of, like, positivity?
I mean, I guess, like, in all areas of my life, like, I've always been, you know, quite vocal about the things that people have ordinarily been scared to talk about, or just sort of, like, push boundaries in whatever way. And, you know, you just kind of touched on it about, you know, the shame stuff. And I feel like the world is not, like, a safe place for, like, women that want to express themselves freely, and I really, really felt that, you know. I've kind of, interestingly enough, like, my dad is an actor, and I was always surrounded by, like, quite powerful males when I was, especially in the entertainment industry, and it hadn't really occurred to me, you know. I was kind of copying them in the early stages of my career with the way that I would conduct myself and behave myself and express myself. And it was, like, a bit of a shock to me that there was such a sort of pushback. And it probably took me a couple of years to figure out that it was because I was a woman that that was happening. And it's just part of my personality that when people push back on me in that way, I just, like, push back harder.
I
think it's, you know, I've sort of, like, figured out that, you know, you get pushed back when you talk about important things. And, you know, it's happened with me when I talked about the refugee crisis. It's like people come down on you hard because they really don't want things to change. And, you know, it goes the same for, like, female sexual liberation. It's just like, you know, if people feel like you can control them, then they'll try and control you. So, yeah.
And I guess if it's uncomfortable for people, they just don't want to hear it or don't want to talk about it. And that's why you get, like, the massive pushback from people. But did you, like, honestly not, like, realize it was because you was a woman for so long? Did you just think, like, why, what's all this about? Like, it's weird. I think it's, for me, I noticed it straight away as soon as I come out of Love Island. Like, I conduct myself exactly how other males had in the show. Never questioned. Every interview I went to, are your parents embarrassed of you? Are you ashamed? Do you regret what you did? And I'm like, no, I was on a show for 8 weeks and I slept with two people. Like, people go to, like, MAGA and sit with, like, eight people in 2 days. I was like, I've literally done nothing wrong. Yeah. But because I was a woman, but I think maybe because I was, like, in the strip industry before and I, like, saw how I was treated from that, I always knew women got treated differently. I think it's slowly adjusting a little bit, but not massively. But that must have been hard for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was. I think I was just genuinely confused. I was just sort of thought, like, you know, I've seen the you know, men in my life all behave in, you know, drinking and smoking and doing whatever it was that they wanted to do, and people being, like, encouraging it and calling it, like, lad culture, and it being definitely, like, encouraged and championed. And then when I would do the same thing, it was considered something altogether different. And yeah, I think it did confuse me. I definitely thought it was more to do with me, myself, a problem with myself, rather than it just being me being a woman. That makes sense.
Oh my God, that's so awful.
Definitely
that you felt
took
way.
Me a while to figure out that. Oh yeah, no, it's just
that's
women
so
aren't allowed
sad.
To behave differently.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's awful. But yeah, I think because I've seen like other women in real, I had someone to reference to, whereas you didn't, I guess. Mm. I think you was like very like original, like no one had been as outspoken as you. And that like leads me on to my next question. In your song, Not Fair, you describe a man as being bad in bed. And I've never, ever heard a woman sing about that in the charts. And I remember, I think I only slept with like one person at that point, and I was like screaming it. I was like, yeah, because that was the guy I told you about. And I was like, what is all this fuss about in porn? Like, really not feeling anything. I was like, your number one fan for that song. But did you ever hesitate before like you went ahead with them lyrics?
No, not really. I mean, the thing is that at that stage in my career, there wasn't really like trolling to the extent that there is now.
Not on Twitter, because you was like huge on Twitter and like MySpace and stuff.
I mean, I was, but Twitter only became like a big thing, I think, in like 2009, and that song came out in 2009. So it was like, it wasn't, maybe when I wrote the song, Twitter wasn't even really around at that point. Mm-hmm. So definitely wasn't hesitant when I wrote the song. I think that like self-censorship for me definitely came later, as like internet culture and trolling became more of an issue. And not because I'm scared of it, but just because like I just don't really want it like clogging up my feed all day. It just makes me feel shit about myself.
Yeah.
And it's just really hard to avoid. But at the time, I don't think I just felt like, you know, people will think this is funny.
And they need to hear it, yeah. It's so relatable, though. Like, you must hear that from every woman that you meet. Like, if anyone clocks you on the street, they must be like, oh, my God, that song.
Lots of people have, like, different favourites for different reasons, but, yeah.
That is definitely one of my favourites. But thank you so much for coming on. And honestly, like, I'm such a fangirl. I was so nervous for today because I was like, I couldn't ever speak the way I do in interviews and be so, like, unfiltered if it wasn't for women like you who'd, like, gone and done that before me. So I really appreciate you being so honest and fearless.
No, I thank you so much for having me. And, you know, I'm a big fan of yours as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. If you did, please rate 5 stars and leave a review. And be sure to subscribe so you get next week's episode as soon as it lands. And remember, for the best experience, make sure you listen on the Entel app.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.